The Detroit Pistons just lost a game to the Houston Rockets where they didn't play Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, or Kevin Porter Jr., and they still lost. They went with this new starting lineup again. Buckle in, everybody. It's going to be a long one.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. So I know I told you guys a few episodes ago that we were going to try to be more positive with the podcast, try to make it more positive toned. So I'm going to stay true to that. And we're going to start it off by saying Hamidou Diallo continues to play really well. He had 15 points, 5 steals in this game, just 19 minutes of play. He makes the most out of his minutes. He's been playing extremely hard, and he's playing really, really well within the role that they've identified for him. That is more than just standing in the corner. We've talked about that a lot. He's playing really, really well. He was a team-high plus 16 in this game and completely matched the eye test. He's playing really, really well in the role they've made for him, and we've talked about him a lot, but he deserves a shout-out right here. And then, obviously, we'll talk about this more later. But also, Jaden Ivey had another fine game. He had 16 points in just 9 shots, got to the free throw line 8 times, had 7 rebounds and 5 assists. He did have 6 turnovers, which is not very good at all. But he had a fine game for being a rookie. The 6 turnovers you don't want to see, but I thought he had a fine game, was pretty efficient from the floor, and I liked the fact that he was getting to the free throw line. All right, now that I got those positive stuff out the way, guys, I'm steaming. I'm absolutely steaming right now. I'm trying my hardest right now to not just completely blow a casket. No one else is going to talk about this. No one's going to ask this coaching staff about this. No one's going to press them on this. So I got to be the one that comes out and talks about it because no one else is going to. Everyone else just, you know, bees around the bush. The idea behind what Dwayne Casey has done with this starting lineup might be one of the most, I don't understand the logic behind this at all. So we're just going to go down the list, okay? We're going to go down this list. So last game, I didn't talk about this because it was Killian's game, first game back from his little shoulder injury. So I thought, okay, they're just doing the same thing they did with Jalen Duren, where he sat one game and then they put him back into the starting lineup the game after. Nope, turns out not to be the case. Apparently, this is a starting lineup that they like. And when Dwayne Casey was asked about this, he said last game it was in order. He made this change to, quote-unquote, compete. Compete. That's why he did this. Let's just go down the long-ass list of what's wrong with this, of why that doesn't match up, why this makes no sense. No sense at all. Well, for starters, let's talk about the fact that for the past 2 to 3 months, Killian Hayes has been one of your best basketball players. He's arguably been the most impactful player when you talk about offense and defense. Before the Paris game, which everyone just blew up on, the 7 games before the Paris game when he came back from his suspension, he was in the midst of the best stretch of his season, 14.6 points, 8.0 assists, 45 from the field, 38% from deep on 5 attempts, and 83% from the free throw line. That was after he got suspended. And then before he got suspended, we all know what he was doing before then. We had talked about it a lot on the podcast, how well he'd been playing. But yet, Killian Hayes is the only player, one of the only young guys who has actually improved this year, who's actually taken a big step forward, and the one of the ones who actually has turned the corner, he was benched for what? He's been benched, and now he's playing 20 minutes a game. Not because he's playing bad, not because he deserved it, but because just for giggles, I guess. That's the first thing. That just makes no sense. I don't care what anyone says. He's been one of your best players all year. He's part of the young core, at least we're supposed to believe. He's actually improved, one of the only ones who hasn't taken the next step. and he's been benched. Now he's getting less minutes than Isaiah Stewart, Isaiah Livers, Alec Burks, Jalen Duren, and Sadiq Bey. And he's been better for probably, he's been better than most all those guys for the past 2 to 3 months. That's the first thing that makes no sense about this. Second thing that makes no sense about this, we came into the season talking about how they're going to be playing the two big man lineup with Isaiah Stewart because they don't believe that Isaiah Stewart can play the five. And we talked about in the podcast that Isaiah Stewart at the five just wasn't something that was working. He doesn't have very good hands at all. He's just not a very good five. So they came into this year and said, you know what, we're going to play him at power forward. And for a large stretch of the season, he was playing really well next to Jalen Duren. Him and Jalen Duren were playing really well together. Now, over the past 15, 16 games, Isaiah Stewart hasn't been shooting well from beyond the arc. But despite that, he still was a better power forward than he was at center. Him playing next to Jalen Duren was allowing him to do things that he wasn't able to do at the five. He just isn't a center. But you know what? Screw that. Screw all that sample size. Screw all the first 2 year sample size. We have him not being able to play a center position. Screw the fact that you guys literally talked about throughout the whole offseason that you wanted to see him starting together because you believe he was a power forward. Screw all that. Let's send him back to the bench so he can then play 23 minutes off the bench as the backup five. Let's go ahead and do that. And he didn't have a good game tonight. He fumbled a lot of passes. Stu is not five. But sure, let's go ahead and take Killian Hayes and put him in a position he shouldn't be in and not worry about his development, apparently. And let's go ahead and take Isaiah Stewart and throw that development away and put him back at the starting five, even though he was actually flourishing as a four. Let's put him back at the five so we can start. And now we move into the third thing on the list that makes no sense. Let's go ahead and do that with those guys so we can then start the worst wing defensive rotation in the entire NBA in Bojan Bogdanović and Sadiq Bey. We watched it for how many games to start the year that they are quite literally the worst wing pairing defensively in the entire NBA. In the entire NBA. We watched it happen for the first few months of the season. You guys remember after when they finally made that change, we came on here and I told you guys the stat that had Bojan and Sadiq Bey in the bottom 10. Now, not all defensive stats should just speak for themselves. It's hard to, you know, get defense into a stat. But we brought up the stat that had Sadiq Bey and Bojan Bogdanović in the bottom 10 defenders in the entire NBA when they made that change. I believe it was last month when they finally made the change. But you know what? Screw the sample size that those two guys don't work together. Screw the sample size that they are quite literally the worst wing pairing defensively in the entire league. Let's go ahead and mess up Killian Hayes' development. Let's go ahead and mess up Isaiah Stewart's development. And then let's throw those guys into the starting lineup and make our defense even worse, which, by the way, is the 29th ranked defense in the league as is. Let's do that. And that surely will make sense. We'll be competing doing that. That's a move to compete. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys noticed this. Silly me. This move was made to compete more than they had been. And in the game that they wanted to compete more against the Houston Rockets, a team that did not play Jalen Green, that did not play Alperen Sengun, that did not play Kevin Porter Jr., their top three best players on their team, they lost. They lost by three to that team. One of the worst teams right next to the Pistons, bottom three worst teams in the league, without their three best players in a move you made to compete, to play better, to win more, you lost to those guys. Someone needs to tell me how does this make sense? How are we just, I see some people just giving a pass to this. How are we giving a pass to this? And the Rockets weren't even being coached by their head coach. They were being coached by John Lucas. There's no way you can give a pass. There's not one bit of this that makes sense. There's not one bit of this that makes sense at all. To combine, let's go ahead and go one more step further down the list of why this makes no sense. For the majority of the season, for all offseason, I had so many of you guys, I had so many draft guys, I had so many people we respect in the Pistons community say, Jaden Ivey's not a point guard. He plays off ball. He's not a primary initiator. He's an off ball guard, a scoring guard with some playmaking chops. That's what I was told all the time. And when Jaden Ivey would struggle on ball, you guys would tell me and people would tell me that's not the role he's supposed to be in. He's supposed to be off ball. So Killian Hayes was in the lineup with them and he was playing off ball. I thought they were playing well together. But no, I guess Jaden Ivey actually is a point guard and he's not off ball. Which one is it? There's just so many things down the list that just makes no sense about what this decision was. I don't get it. To compete. To compete. Oh, by the way, real quick, again, before we move on. Starting lineup, Sadiq Bey, minus 10. Bojan Bogdanovic, minus 5. Jalen Duren, minus 3. Alec Burks, minus 5. Jaden Ivey, minus 7. You guys want to know what the other guys were? Killian Hayes, plus 9. Diallo, plus 16. Stu is a plus 0, so he was even. But yeah. No. We're gonna go ahead and do that move. We're gonna make this move because it is the move to compete. It makes sense. It makes complete sense. I'm steaming. I'm sure you guys can tell. But when we come back, we're gonna go digging. We're gonna go digging, y'all. When we come back, I'm gonna go digging for whatever logic there could possibly be. We're gonna go look for the logic with why Dwayne Casey made this change. What is the logic here? Is there anything that makes sense? We're going digging. We're going to go look for it. We'll talk about it when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here. We're really excited by our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay, all on an app that's safe and secure and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So I want to dive a little bit further into, and like I said, we're going to go digging to try to find whatever logic there could be behind this. But before we do that, I do want to say this. Again, I'm trying to balance out the positive with the negative. Jaden Ivey has given some mixed bag stuff as the lead ball handler. He's turned the ball over 6 times tonight. That's not good at all. Last game, you saw him do a really good job. We talked about it all podcast last episode. But this game, it was a little bit more of a mixed bag. I think you're starting to see that the one big positive is that Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren are developing a really good chemistry between each other. Really, really good chemistry between each other, especially in the pick and roll. Duren knows how to operate in space and rolling when Jaden Ivey is also coming off the screen. That was a big issue earlier in the year when you would see Isaiah Stewart set a screen. He wasn't always on the same page with them. He'd be rolling at the wrong times. He'd be in the paint before they even started driving. He'd wait too long. They'd be in the paint, and he's still – It's a timing thing. And Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren seem like they really got that timing down pat between each other. And that's really cool to see between those two guys. So that's really good to see. Also, I think Jaden Ivey, I liked his shot selection for the majority of the night. I thought he did a good job with that too. And again, we're talking about him having some struggles. We're talking about him turning the ball over 6 times. Which again, it's not good, but he's a rookie and you're looking at a stat line. And yeah, he had the turnovers, but he had 16 points in just 9 shots. He got to the free throw line 8 times. He was 2 of 4 from deep. So even with when Ivy struggles and he has these like the high number of turnovers and some plays where you're just like, you can't make that play. Come on, you got to be better than that. At the end of the night, you find yourself looking at the box score and you're like, well, you know, he actually didn't have a bad night for a rookie. Obviously he had some mistakes that you got to improve on, but 16 on 9 shots is pretty damn efficient. So, yeah, I thought he had a mixed bag, but overall, I think you come away from this game feeling pretty good about Ivy and how he played aggressive offensively. He started out really hot again, another game when he started out really hot in the first quarter and then just kind of cooled down the rest of the game. I don't know what they got to do to, you know, try to keep that level of aggression throughout the game and protect productivity throughout the game. But, yeah, again, I thought Jaden Ivey had a fine game. Turnovers need to go down. That you can't have 6 turnovers, but I thought he had a fine game nonetheless. Anyways, now let's go back into some of the negative that we were talking about. See, I'm doing a good job. I'm doing a good job of trying to balance the positive with the negative here. All right, so let's go ahead and try to find what could be the logic here. What could be the logic behind this lineup change? Well, the first one, which was tweeted by James Edwards. He tweeted, let me make sure I have the tweet pulled up. I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. That's something I don't want to do. He said, he tweeted back at someone earlier that was talking about why they do this, blah, blah, blah. He said, I would also like to remind people that the trade deadline is a weekish away. So maybe they elevated Burks to the starting lineup. Maybe they're keeping Bojan with Sadiq Bey in the starting lineup because they're trying to put those two guys, Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic, on display, even though Bojan was more on display anyways. He was always on display. By the way, he's had two back-to-back really bad nights. He was 6 of 17 in this game, 1 of 6 from deep. Oh, look at that. Lineup change. Bojan all of a sudden forgets how to shoot a basketball. Who knew? But maybe they're putting those two guys on display for people who are interested in them, and that's why they're doing this, because they're going to be trading these two guys in about a week and a half. Maybe that's the case. But then my pushback to that would be, one, Bojan was already on display, so really you're talking about just Alec Burks. And secondly, correct me if I'm wrong, but haven't we been told, like, for months now that the Pistons don't really want to give up Bojan? They don't really want to give up Burks? Like, they're okay just holding on to them and going into next year? Like, they're not opposed to moving them. If you come up with a crazy offer, they'll do it. But haven't we been told for a while now that they're completely cool holding on to them and they're not in no rush to move them? By our beat writers and local people, isn't that what we've been told for months now? So I don't know how both those things could be true. That doesn't make sense to me. So one of those things can't be true. That's just what I'm saying. So that's my pushback with that one. And then let's find hold on guys. I'm still digging. I think I might have hit something. We might have found something. We're about 30 feet deep. And I think I might have found something. Let me pick it up. Let's see what it is. Oh, Jane Ivey playing with the space floor and gets the ball the whole time. Maybe that's why they wanted to do it. Okay. Does that make sense? Again, like we talked about in the first segment, I've been told by people throughout the offseason who scouted Jane Ivey. I was told by a lot of people you guys respect in the Pistons community that does content a lot. I've been told by a lot of fans. I've been told by a lot of Jane Ivey fans that Jane Ivey is not a point guard. He is an off guard, a scorer. He's a guy who can really play off of people, and he has some playmaking chops to him. He can take some of the ball handling responsibilities away, but he himself is not a point guard. So why then would they be putting him out there as the main point guard, the lead ball handler, with no one else to take some of that pressure off of him? Why would you put all that kind of pressure on your rookie who isn't, according to everyone else, is being played out of position then? So you're playing him out of position and you're putting this kind of load on him? That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense to me at all. And then just real quick, the 8 games previous to this lineup change, when he was starting next to Killian Hayes, Ivy was averaging 16, 5.5, 5 on 42% shooting from the field, 34% from deep, getting to the free throw line 4 times a game. Does that sound like struggling? I thought he was playing well. I thought Jane Ivy was turning the corner. I thought he was playing really well. I don't know. Who knows? What do I know, though? What do I know? I don't know, you guys. I've been digging now. Like, we're about 100 feet deep, but those are the only two things I found. I found that piece of paper, and I found a little paper clip with the whole, you know, showing them off for trades. That's the only two things I was able to find while I was digging for the logic behind this. But yeah, man, if one of you guys happen to have some kind of logic for this, please tell me. Please tell me below, because I don't see it at all. I don't see it at all. And one of the main things, I'm sure you guys understand why I'm so even more, like, heated than probably a lot of other people are, even though I see a lot of Pistons fans are pretty mad about this. I'm probably even more mad than that, because you guys know I'm a Killian Hayes guy. And for a dude that has dealt with confidence issues for 2 years, for a dude who has turned his season and his career around really this year, for a guy who quite literally was in the conversation for most impactful Piston over the past 2 to 3 months, who was in the midst of the best stretch of his career before the game in Paris, the one game that he played awful and was trash in. The stretch before then was playing the best stretch of his career. He gets benched. I need to know how that makes sense. You reward him for turning the corner and getting better and turning the corner, all that stuff, by benching him and playing him 20 minutes? That's what we're doing? It doesn't make. I can't stand it. I'm so mad. It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. It's just stupid. Again, if one of you guys have the sense for it, please let me know. By the way, just real quick, I tweeted this out yesterday. Killian Hayes, when he plays more than 30 minutes this season, he's done it 19 times. You want to know what his numbers are in the times he actually gets 30 minutes in the games that he actually gets played like a starter? Because there's games, by the way, remember, we come in the pockets all the time. There's games where he doesn't even get to play 30 minutes and he still has like 13 points. He could have had way more. And those games that he's played 30 minutes, at least, in those 19 games, he's averaging 15.7 points, 8.1 assists, 4.0 rebounds on 45% shooting, 36% from deep, and 81% from the free throw line. Good for a 54 true shooting percentage. Sounds pretty damn good to me, but sure, you know what? The way I'm going to reward that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bench you, and then I'm going to take 10 more minutes away from you. I'm like, oh my God, dude. I'm so mad, right? Like, oh my God. Oh, wait. I just found one last thing. I found one last possible thing. Dig it. I dig for another 5 feet. We're now 105 feet down. I found something. We're going to talk about what this final thing is when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Before I tell you guys what this other piece of possible logic is that I found, I just want to say this too. For all the people that are saying fans can't stomach a rebuild, you can't handle the losses, this is what happens, blah, blah. I point me into the direction of someone who believes that there's any damn future and there's any damn situation and there's any damn possible reason, possible explanation that the Detroit Pistons should lose to a Houston Rockets team who, by the way, is also tanking for Victor Wembanyama. Why they should be losing to a team, that team, without their top three players. They're already one of the worst teams in the NBA. Now you take away their top three players and they lose to those guys. There's no excuse for that. Dude's got to be held accountable. I ain't just talking about the players. How is that? That shouldn't be accepted. That's not possible. That shouldn't be something that even comes close to happening. That's embarrassing. But anyways, this last piece of logic here that I've pulled up here that could possibly explain this lineup change. Which, by the way, just want to let you guys know, apparently it's fluid. It's fluid. It could possibly change at any moment. Any moment this lineup could just change in the effort of competing. It could change at any point. Who knows? Next time we might get Kojo in the starting lineup. But the last bit of possible logic I may have found by this is, and this is why I truly think it is. This right here is why I believe it is. And by the way, I also think this is incredibly dumb. But I think it's just a simple fact. I don't think anyone else is going to say it. I don't think anyone else is going to ask this. You're not going to get any answers like this. You're not going to hear people say it. But I think it's just as simple as this. The guys that they benched, they don't value their development. They're not their development and their future on the team is not high on the list of priority. It's not that high on the priority list. Killian Hayes, heck, they got Cade. They got Jaden Ivey now. Who cares if Killian Hayes has been arguably better than everyone else the past 2 months, been the most impactful player for the past 2 to 3 months. Who cares? You got Jaden Ivey, you got Kay Cunningham. He's not that important anymore. He's gone. Isaiah Stewart, yeah, he's probably not a starter, even though he was showing improvement at the four. He's probably not a starter, so he's not really that important. Get him out. You got Jalen Duren. We're trying to go for Victor Wembanyama. We don't need Stu in the starting lineup. Go ahead. His development isn't that high on the priority list. You want to know who's development is high on the priority list, though. Jaden Ivey. And I bet you that the coaching staff believes that, hey, if we start Sadiq Bey with Bojan and Alec Burks, that just might give Jaden Ivey a space floor. And I bet that he could just dominate offensively with a space floor. I bet that was the reasoning that is behind this whole thing. We don't care if it absolutely makes no sense defensively. I don't care. We don't care if it puts everyone else in bad positions and stunts their development. We don't care that maybe we're even putting too much of a load on Jaden Ivey, who has been said for the whole season and offseason isn't a true point guard. Maybe we're putting too much on his shoulders. No, we're going to give him an absolute space floor with these guys, by the way, Sadiq Bey, one of seven from deep, a dude who's shooting like 32% from deep this year, that spacer right there. That spacer right there. Going to help space the floor for Jaden Ivey. That's probably the reason. I'm not going to lie to you guys. That right there is probably the reason. And that being the reason still makes zero sense because Jaden Ivey was playing perfectly fine before. He was looking really good the previous like 10 games with Killian Hayes still in the starting lineup. The starting backcourt wasn't the problem. The starting backcourt wasn't the problem. Still starting with Jalen Duren wasn't the problem. By the way, remember we talked about the bench, how it was like the highest scoring bench in the league since Alec Burks came back? Pistons had the best bench in the NBA since Burks returned. But nah, let's go ahead and forget that. Forget that bench lamp. Let's go ahead and mess up that bench lamp that's been dominating opposing benches for 2 months now. Throw that aside. We're trying to compete. If you guys went digging and like I said, I stopped. If you guys kept digging, you guys happened to find some other logic for this starting lineup, go ahead. Hit me up with it. And I'll say this too. This is the thing I'll end the podcast with. If I'm right, and the reason why this lineup change was made, I believe is because they wanted to give Jaden Ivey the ball and have him have a high usage rate with the space floor. It would have made more sense to start Isaiah Livers because at least he can play defense. Start Livers for Sadiq Bey with Boyan. If I'm right, if that's what you were going for, which by the way, I still disagree with, you're demoting someone who doesn't deserve to be demoted, who's been one of your best players. I hate this. I hate that. But if you're going to do it, Isaiah Livers makes more sense. He doesn't need the ball in his hands. Sadiq's still trying to ISO. Livers isn't going to try ISO. He's going to shoot spot up threes. He's going to space the floor and play defense. So if that's what you're going for, start Livers instead of Sadiq. And let Sadiq come off the bench and get his ISOs that he wants. That would have made sense. But what do I know? What do I know? I'm just some dude that hosts a Pistons podcast. That's all I've got for you guys today. Thank you guys for listening. Let me know your guys' thoughts are on this loss and also this lineup change. What do you guys think it makes sense about? Let me know. Comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. Hit that subscribe button at the YouTube channel. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And until next time, enjoy the playoff games today in the NFL. I got the Eagles going to the Super Bowl and win the championship. But until the next podcast, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe. Go Pistons. And peace out.